Tensions in the South China Sea have left the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or the ASEAN, seeking clarity on how to navigate potential conflicts with China. In this B-side episode, Herman Joseph S. Kraft, a political science professor at the University of the Philippines, discusses with Business World reporter Beatrice Marie D. Cruz the ways in which the ASEAN can leverage its ties to protect peace within its waters.
Now, to start things off, Professor Kraft, we know that the Philippines has struggled to reinforce its ownership in the South China Sea due to military and economic limitations. And even with the numerous diplomatic protests filed by the Philippines, this is obviously not enough because China has recently unveiled its 10-dash line map, or a U-shaped line claiming ownership of almost 80% of the South China Sea. So this leads me to my first question. Given the country's military and economic shortcomings, can the Philippines elevate its situation in the South China Sea as an opportunity to build up and enhance its diplomatic ties with ASEAN countries?
Okay, kasi if you look at the situation, I mean, I guess this is actually one of the things that we ought to do. So normatively, expanding our diplomatic space is actually one of the things that we should be doing. No? And by that, I mean, we're really looking at trying to expand what a number of scholars now refer to as strategic autonomy, our ability to actually act autonomously in pursuit of our own interests, regardless of great power dynamics, parang ganon. So kumbaga, what we need to do is to expand that space where we can actually exercise what we refer to as strategic autonomy. So it's important for us to actually try to build that space by working more closely with other countries, because by ourselves, medyo limitado yung capacity natin to do that. In fact, if you look at what's going on with us, there's a tendency to see that, or at least to look at the Philippines as going too close to the United States at the expense of our relationship with China. So kumbaga nagiging zero-sum game yung situation natin in terms of how we actually deal with the great powers. One way of actually trying to avoid an either-or kind of foreign policy as far as the way we deal with the, you know, with the great powers is, of course, yun nga, like what I said, trying to expand that diplomatic space. And so working with countries like Indonesia and Thailand is actually one. Basically, it's working with ASEAN. The idea would be for us to try to strengthen our ties with the members of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. Of course, there are limitations to that. The limitations is actually self-imposed, that is to say, imposed by ASEAN upon itself, because it's a 10-member state association, soon to be 11, no? As soon as Timor-Leste's entry is actually formalized. And because you have this number of, you know, member states and each and every one of them actually emphasizing their own national interests, it's more difficult to actually, unlike the European Union, for instance, or the members of the European Union, the European community, no? It's much more difficult for ASEAN to actually come up with a common appreciation of our strategic environment. Some of the members of ASEAN are actually closer to China, for instance, no? And some are actually closer to the United States. And some are actually trying to find a way by which ASEAN could be some sort of wedge that makes certain that the relationship between China and the United States, intense, no, as it might seem, would not skid, no, into a situation where a crisis emerges and then it slides into conflict. So there are some, we're thinking that ASEAN could actually play that kind of role, no? But the space for that, not only for the Philippines, but for ASEAN as well, no? Is becoming smaller and smaller. Meaning to say that relations within the region is increasingly being dominated by the rivalry between China and the United States. And even if we keep on emphasizing the idea of ASEAN centrality, it's becoming more and more difficult to assert that, to be able to provide the platforms where we can discuss strategic environment with all our dialogue partners, and in doing so, trying to actually limit the effects, the more egregious effects, no, of the rivalry between China and the United States. So to that extent, I would actually say that, yes, we should actually consider expanding our diplomatic space to increase our strategic autonomy, both for the Philippines, no, and for ASEAN in general. But the space within which we can do that now is increasingly becoming narrower and narrower. It's becoming smaller and smaller precisely because as the rivalry between China and the United States intensifies and pushes the members of ASEAN into a situation that they may not like, having to choose between one side or the other.
Would it be possible if the Philippines could build its diplomatic ties with both the US and the ASEAN at the same time, or would it actually complicate the situation?
No, I think that's the proper way to do it. That is to say that our expectations are, we don't have any problems with ASEAN, right? The United States is already a treaty ally. And in fact, within the last few months, that alliance has actually become stronger. Now, in terms of the contents, not the more substantive elements of it. Of course, the problem that we need to take into consideration is the extent to which we could leverage our role within ASEAN in order to be able to also do two things. One is improve our relationship with China, but at the same time, making certain that ASEAN itself would be in a position to play a role where we're providing a platform where all countries around the region can talk about issues, no? Within the context of that particular role for ASEAN, the Philippines is more of a supporter for ASEAN. We're recognized as a country that takes a leadership position or actually is known for taking initiatives, no? Within ASEAN, right? We're more a country that is supportive of the consensus, no, of whatever is actually agreed upon, no. The problem for the Philippines and for ASEAN in terms of its relationship with the Philippines is that we, together with a number of ASEAN countries, are placed in a situation where our national interests are actually directly colliding with that of China, no, in terms of that dispute over what we claim to have sovereign rights over, right? So that's the West Philippine Sea, right? So Vietnam is in the same, more or less in the same kind of situation. With that new map that China came out, no, Malaysia is finding itself much more compromised as far as its relations with China is concerned because of what the map seems to indicate. And of course, Indonesia has always had problems with how China sees the 9-9 and the overlap that it has with Indonesia's claim to an EEZ from the along the North Natuna Sea. So the relationship of individual ASEAN countries with China and therefore how they behave and interact within the context of the competition between China and the United States now is compromised by their dispute with China over the maritime domains, no, and maritime entitlements, no, that under UNCLOS they are supposed to actually enjoy. So you do have that kind of situation. And if you're going back to that question about can we play a role by ourselves, no, like I said, the Philippines is not known as a country that actually takes a leadership role, a strong leadership role, or takes the initiative, no, especially on issues that have strategic implications within ASEAN. So suddenly changing that normally passive role that we play within ASEAN, no? Pero hindi tayo kilala na tayo yung nag-lead, tayo yung nag-i-insist. Pero dahil nga hindi we're not known to take that position. In other words, if you ask within ASEAN, no, which country can take a leadership role, no, as far as the current situation is actually concerned, I don't think that they'll think about the Philippines as having to play that role, especially since we are known as being a treaty ally of the United States. So medyo compromised tayo dun sa ano na yun. We cannot take a position within ASEAN without a position actually being seen, no, as somehow being an extension of US and strategic interests. So it's rather difficult for the Philippines to play that role, no? But it is important for ASEAN to play that role within the region.
Now, is it time that we actually take this strong leadership role that you would say? It doesn't have to be like major steps because, again, economic and military limitations. But can we start this through initiating joint patrols with ASEAN countries? What are ways that the Philippines can actually do this?
We can do it, no? The question is whether us taking that initiative would be taken seriously by the other ASEAN countries, precisely because we're seen as too close to the United States, right? Mm. So in that sense, the role that we might play and the way that we're seen within the region might be compromised because of that relationship with the United States.
All right, sir. Moving on to my next question. Are there historical examples of countries with limited resources who were actually able to navigate through complex international issues through diplomacy, and what can we actually learn from these examples?
Alam mo, ang pinakamagandang example niyan, and it's actually the example that shows how ASEAN gained the international credibility that it has now. And that's, of course, the Cambodia situation in the 1980s, 1990s, which eventually led to, of course, the Paris talks, which eventually led to Vietnam's withdrawal from Cambodia, no, and paved the way for all of these countries actually eventually joining ASEAN. There, you will actually see the role that was played by a number of countries within ASEAN. Indonesia was the one that actually tried to promote a process where the conflict in Cambodia could actually be negotiated between the different factions fighting the Vietnamese. And then, of course, those factions were aligned with the Vietnamese and eventually led to, of course, some sort of political settlement, no, as far as the Cambodia situation is concerned. Thailand was instrumental in terms of ASEAN actually taking a hard line as far as Vietnam's invasion of Cambodia was concerned. So in other words, that was never acceptable. And Thailand being the frontline state, no, that common border with Cambodia, and in being in a situation where some of the fighting actually spilled over, no, into its borders, made sure that ASEAN was not going to take a complacent position, no, as far as the invasion of Cambodia by Vietnam. No. So in other words, one of the things that's recognized about what ASEAN was that as a collective grouping, no, and at that time, you're talking about 6 members, right? Not yet the 10 that we, and soon to be 11 that we have now, where ASEAN took a very strong stand about the invasion of Cambodia and didn't let the international community become complacent and accepting, no, of the fait accompli as far as Vietnam's invasion of Cambodia was actually concerned. So it's a very good example of how small countries, but acting collectively. See, that's the point. You're talking about small countries actually acting collectively and being able to sway public opinion on an issue that is central to their own regional concerns. But the key point there is acting collectively. A single small country actually doing that would have less credibility in terms of being able to sway public opinion, international opinion. The problem is right now, ASEAN can act collectively on this precisely because even as it tries to strengthen ASEAN centrality, the strategic relationship actually are differentiated, no, in terms of how they deal with both the United States and China.
Sir, can you expound further on what the status of the ASEAN is at the moment?
Ang ASEAN naman is actually, let's put it this way, what the part of the problem of ASEAN is it's actually being weighed, if you will, no, in terms of its strategic weight based on how it is able to do to act in relation to the strategic situation as far as the region is actually concerned. Now, a major concern is, of course, that competition between China and the United States. Now, on something that involves the great powers, no, banging their heads against each other, no, a collection of small countries like ASEAN would actually be unable to really, I mean, expectations about what ASEAN can do might actually be exaggerated, right? We hope that ASEAN would be able to provide, no, a venue where that competition can be diminished, no, in terms of its intensity. But that's really up to the great powers, right, in how they deal with each other. Along those lines, ASEAN is seen as being unable to do anything, right? But the fact is, ASEAN has actually been able to accomplish quite a bit in terms of regional security. Ang pinaka accomplishment niya is that despite that border dispute between Thailand and Cambodia over that the temple, no, in Priya Vihar, whatever conflict arose out of it was never allowed to expand into an all-out fight between Thailand and Cambodia. No? So if you look at that, that is illustrative precisely of what ASEAN has been able to do within the region. That is to say that despite the many disputes that we have with one another, border disputes or whatever, no, cultural or whatever, this has never been allowed to actually escalate into something that would lead to an all-out conflict between some members of ASEAN. So in other words, now, to a large extent, ASEAN has actually been responsible, by and large, no, or contributed quite a bit to the fact that ASEAN, or the Southeast Asian region, has shifted from its identity as a region of conflict, no, in the 1960s and 70s to one that is a region of economic growth, of cooperation and coordination amongst the members of ASEAN.
How would China possibly react to ASEAN taking charge of territorial tensions in the South China Sea in an ideal world if the ASEAN is actually able to push this further?
To a large extent, realistically speaking, right, we put our eggs on the code of conduct basket, right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, that's the area where ASEAN has taken a role collectively, you know, as far as the South China Sea is actually concerned. And we are negotiating collectively with China. They would like the code of conduct to actually succeed, but on their own terms, terms that are actually favorable to them, no, at least as far as their claims within the South China Sea is actually concerned. Now, unfortunately, what China considers to be favorable to themselves, again, is at the expense of course, the interests, no, of the other claimant states, no, as especially the ASEAN claimant states. Kaya nga, pag tinignan natin yung, ano, yung COC, it's not about resolving the issue, the territorial dispute. It's all about trying to come up with a code of behavior, no, for all the claimant states, and we hope all the states that have to deal with the South China Sea itself, not the territorial dispute, but passage through it, recognizing the nature of the waters, no, the maritime domains, no, that it actually involves, and so that's why it's rather complicated. Kasi parang ang ano dun is that at one level we're really talking about the ASEAN states and how they relate to China, no, as far as the South China Sea is actually concerned, no, and so that it means ano yung relationship noong behavior ng mga bansa within ASEAN in the context of the South China Sea, recognizing of course the existing disputes, no, yun yung pinaka ano dun. It is not going to resolve the dispute itself. A lot of people might have that wrong impression about the, you know, but it's not about resolving the disputes. It's about creating a document that would be the basis for how countries in the region, and that includes, or at least Southeast Asian states now and China, are supposed to deal with each other, even as the issue of the territorial disputes now are actually still in place. So China is willing to deal with ASEAN. I don't think that China is willing to actually allow ASEAN to take the lead as far as settling the dispute is concerned. But it's willing to actually work with ASEAN in terms of coming up with arrangements that would be the basis for how we deal with one another in the context of the South China Sea.
Now, going back to what the Philippines can do alone, can you further discuss potential scenarios where the Philippines can actually strengthen its diplomatic skills to result to positive developments in other areas such as economic growth?
Diplomacy is at the very least a two-way street. We might want to talk to China, for instance, to discuss with them the issues that we have, no, as far as resupply, for instance, of Ayungin Shoal is actually concerned, no, the question of the Sierra Madre, and then of course now that issue of what the new map actually means. The problem is, and I think this is something that's not too publicly known, China is selective about how it talks to us. So in other words, I think the narrative from our side is that hindi tayo nagkukulang as far as trying to initiate, no, and talk to China about issues, no, concerning our concerns about the South China Sea and the West Philippine Sea. But like I said, even as we would like to actually work with China diplomatically, it's not easy because China has not necessarily been forthright about how it wants to deal with us. We have a hotline, but most of the countries that have a hotline with China have experienced a situation where when they call, there's nobody on the other end, no, answering the call. So those kinds of situations is not about the Philippines. It's about China being willing to meet us and the other countries in the region halfway, no, as far as these issues are concerned. Ang lagi kasing lumalabas sa narrative nila is they're willing to talk, no, and they invite the Philippines to actually talk to them about the issue. The problem is we try to take them up on that offer, but it seems like it's not that easy for them to actually get down and talk to us. So there's that kind of situation, meaning to say that we're being pushed into a corner where for us to be able to assert our rights, no, our sovereign rights and our claims, we need to actually rely on the United States, or at least to actually deal with China, no, in a way that might show them up, no, in a negative way, no. So kumbaga yung mga videos, yung mga reports, no, yung mga social media, no, ayaw ninyo makipag-usap. Parang kung sinasabi niyo gusto niyo makipag-usap sa amin, then makipag-usap kayo sa amin. So in other words, there has to be a give and take as far as this issue is actually concerned. And right now, at least from our side, us being the aggrieved, what we sense to be, or at least what we believe that we are the more aggrieved party in this situation, we were expecting China to actually meet us at the very least if halfway as far as this issue is concerned.
What are long-term implications for the Philippines if we're able to succeed on this? If we're able to build diplomatic prowess and navigate international relations effectively?
If we are able to do that, of course, parang the question would be, what do we hope to achieve? Number one is, of course, the idea of kung ano natin dito is that we don't want to take sides. Kasi part of the problem is this. China is dealing with us in a way where we're seen as an agent of the United States. So they keep on warning us about playing the game, being a pawn of the United States. Now, it's not as if we're not sensitive to that. The problem is that the more they push us, the more our situation is actually compromised, then the more important our relationship with the United States becomes in the way that we actually deal with China. In other words, they're the ones that are actually constraining our diplomatic space. And when they behave in a way that our diplomatic space is actually constrained, then we don't have much of a choice except to actually deal with the United States, to try to work the United States in. So in other words, if we're able to actually strengthen our diplomatic capabilities, the expectation would be we would be in a better position to actually leverage our position in terms of ASEAN. And hopefully that leverages ASEAN's position, or that helps to leverage ASEAN's position in terms of where it situates itself, it positions itself. Ideally, in ideal condition is that ASEAN is going to be able to work a way where it doesn't have to actually play, or at least play a role within the competition between China and the United States, which compromises itself. And in doing so, we're also hoping that we are going to be able to mobilize our diplomatic resources, our alliances, our partnerships, in a way where we would be able to use those relationships in order to try to get China to behave much more favorably, as far as our position on the South China Sea. No, because right now it's dealing with us in a way where we're seen as more of as part of this competition with the United States. Yun kasi parang we'd like to be seen as being outside of that, right? Despite the fact that we are a treaty ally of the United States. And I think that's where our diplomacy actually comes in. That's where it's going to be important for us to play a much more diplomatic role and be able to actually expand our, what you refer to as our diplomatic prowess. Meaning to say, being able to play a role within the international community, where our diplomacy allows us to deal with China in a way where we are not seen as being an agent of the United States.
The Foreign Affairs Department has been trying to reiterate this because, as I've seen with the different hearings in Congress, they would often say that the ETCA bases are not for the U.S. to use when they have to quote-unquote launch attacks and all that. It's just to strengthen our military abilities by the Philippines. But with regards to how the Philippines can assert itself further in terms of its ownership in the exclusive economic zone in the South China Sea, because we know that the diplomatic protests that we have filed against China is not as effective, with China still reacting negatively. And of course, the BRP Sierra Madre is an old warship, and there has to be more efforts to just beyond placing our old ship in the area. So how can the Philippines assert its ownership in the exclusive economic zone further?
One of the things that we, unfortunately, is a long-term prospect, is of course increasing our own presence in this. So the argument has always been, send the Coast Guard out there. But ang question kasi is that we know that through social media, we see that we're trying to increase our presence. But what we need to do is regular presence. Hindi yung for purposes lang na social media. So how consistent is our patrols, for instance? How often are we out there? Because we keep on complaining that the Chinese are out there. Because they are claiming that territory. So you'd expect that kind of behavior from them. So the question there, of course, on our part is, tinatapatan ba na? Of course, hindi natin tinatapatan ship for ship, no? But I guess the question there is, how often are we there to be able to assert our claim? How often are we in these disputed areas so that our presence is going to be something that's normal? Kasi parang anong nangyayari, whenever we're there, we're challenged. We should actually be able to assert our presence in a way where China will have to accept that we're there. Ganun lang kasimple yun. Get to a position, to a situation where we might have a what we might refer to as a modus vivendi, just like what we had with Vietnam, no, and the other claimants to the disputed areas, where all of us were basically saying that, well, nagkakaintindihan tayo. May claim kayo, may claim kami, may presence kami, may presence kayo. So we have to be able to actually assert our presence in a way where China will just have to accept that we're going to be there, that our presence is going to be normal, na hindi na pwede sabihin na umalis kayo dito. No, or kung sasabihan nila tayo na umalis kayo dito, pwede na din natin sabihan sila na umalis din kayo dito. Parang kumbaga, it's enough for us to say that we're present there, that we will be consistently present there, and China will just have to deal with that.
And of course, the reason why China is out there is because they have the resources, hence calling on the need to modernize our Coast Guard and armed forces. But how can we actually do this, Professor Kraft, without relying or waiting for the help of foreigners, because I think this is where the U.S. comes in, right?
Okay lang yung exercises. Treaty allies tayo eh. The U.S. doesn't have to be our source of equipment. We've already worked with South Korea, for instance. We're already talking to India as far as being able to get cruise missiles from them. So in fact, we're going in that direction. The problem, I think, for us is that I don't know to what extent, kasi lagi na lang pagdating sa security, diba? Pagdating sa economic issues, we're always expecting the government to invest on things that economic implications. But look, security has economic implications as well. We can't actually deal with our economic issues as long as we have to deal with our security issues. That was always the issue as far as Mindanao was concerned, that the insurgency had to be settled if we're going to unleash the economic potential of Mindanao. Similarly, the immediate issue as far as the West Philippine Sea is concerned is that we can't explore as well as extract, no, the resources that we'd like to extract from the areas that we claim because of the issues that we have with China. So hinaharangan tayo, no, we're threatened, no, as far as trying to come up with concessions, contracts, because China is in the way. No, parang inaano na, pwede lang kayo magano if you're dealing with us. The problem there is that we're being forced into that kind of situation na parang China lang pwede natin kausapin as far as exploring and extracting resources from the West Philippine Sea. Part of the exercise of our sovereign rights is that we should be able to choose who it is that we deal with. Part yun dapat nung ano natin, nung exercise ng ating exclusive rights to that economic zone. So which means na parang we should be able to assert that right to deal with whomever it is that we want. Yung hindi lang iisa yung ano natin, yung kausap natin. So part nung ano ngayon doon is that we need to be able to assert. No? So what we were asking about was, should we wait for the United States? No, we shouldn't. The U.S. is not the only potential partner that we have as far as defense modernization is actually concerned. Japan is already a partner as far as the modernization of the Coast Guard is actually concerned. Kaya lang, lagi natin sinachani ang ano eh. No? Parang matipid tayo masyado when we talk about ano. Naghahanap, parang masyado tayo nasanay doon sa issue na parang sino yung pinakamura. Di ba parang lowest bidder? Yun lagi natin na ano. And so parang ang lagi natin sinasabi, masyadong mahal yung equipment ng U.S. Fine. But hindi naman po pwede na lagi na lang tayong humihingi, no, ng handouts, no, or ng hand-me-downs. We should actually try to assert what is it that we plan to achieve as far as the modernization of the armed forces is concerned. What is it that we want them to be able to do? And on that basis, we should be able to say we're willing to invest on that. And I think doon tayo lagi na ano eh, parang kung nagkaroon ng issue, sige, modernize natin yung armed forces, no? Mischief brief dati, no? Modernization ng AFP, sumunod kagad, di ba? And then eventually, namatay yung momentum. Parang kumbaga, lagi na lang ba tayo maghihintay ng crisis in order for us to really take seriously the modernization of our instruments for asserting our sovereignty. Yun yung issue kasi doon eh. All that China has to do is wait for us to lose interest. And then, pagka nawalan tayo ng interest, pasok na naman sila. Diba? Parang mischief reef, pagkatapos Scarborough Shoal, pagkatapos yung island building nila. No, parang ang question ngayon dito is, hinihintay na naman ba nila tayo mawala ng interest? That's the reason why we need to keep up this momentum as far as, or build up on the momentum of trying to assert what it is that we're claiming are supposed to be ours.
When in the ideal situation that ASEAN ties become stronger, and it becomes stronger with regards to how it deals with the South China Sea, could there be a possibility of a conflict further? What if China would feel yung threat on this?
I don't think that China will feel threatened by any increase in the capability of ASEAN to deal with regional security, because any increase in that capability is going to be largely political diplomatic, not hard security, not military.
Just a follow-up, but historically, sir, how has the relationship between China and the ASEAN been?
Historically, it's always been good. There was just this one point in time, and this is more of tayo. When we went to The Hague, doon sa arbitral decision, there was never a sense na kailangan natin makipag-consulta sa ating mga partners in ASEAN. So we never consulted with them, which basically means that we didn't have any intention of actually finding out what and following what it is that they would actually suggest that we do or recommend that we do. No, kumbaga, tinuloy na natin talaga yung ano na yun. Yung consequences nun, may epekto sa kanila. Nung nag-intensify ang China in terms of its presence, that was when they decided to build the artificial islands, di ba? And then China also began to deal with ASEAN in a way where China became much more aggressive in terms of how it dealt with ASEAN. There was a sense of parang, bakit nyo kami pinagsasabihan? Why are we suffering the consequences of what the Philippines actually did when wala namang kaming kinalaman doon? Parang may ganung klaseng pag-ano. And so that was a moment when, sabihin natin, China might actually have shown its great power side and exercised it against ASEAN. Small countries kayo, no, you should respect China. Parang may ganung klaseng messaging that actually transmitted to the ASEAN countries.
Recently, the Senate actually passed a resolution calling on the DFA to seek the help of the United Nations General Assembly to tell China to stop ongoing harassments in the South China Sea. So would it complicate things further if Manila pushes through this and the UN General Assembly responds?
I don't know how the UN General Assembly is going to respond. It's going to be something that, kasi parang, look, kahit na anong sabihin natin, because we might be thinking like lawyers again, which is so typical of us. The UN General Assembly is a political club. So in other words, if we are expecting the GA to actually do something, we should actually start campaigning for it. Hindi to ano yung merits ng case. That's not how it's going to work out. If we're going to try to get the GA to do something about what China is doing, we should start trying to campaign for votes on this particular issue. Right now, we're working on a very difficult situation because China has already established itself as far as many of the developing countries are concerned, the Africans, for instance, and then, of course, the BRICS countries. But the point is, if you're going to go that route, we're supposed to do political work. This is not a legal issue for the GA. No, the GA is a political club, which basically means you want to push an issue there, you'd better start behaving politically. And look, if we do that, punta ka sa GA, tapos hindi mo lalapitan ng ASEAN, parang ito yung mga pinakamalapit na bansa sa'yo, and yet you're not coordinating with them. You're not consulting them. Again, we're behaving like politically naive. No? Dapat nakikipag-usap tayo sa mga kaibigan natin, no? And that includes ASEAN, in order to find out whether there's a basis for what we're going to do. Parang meron ba tayong pag-asa?
Mr. Kraft said the goal is to ease constraints felt by the ASEAN as a result of the ongoing rivalry between China and the U.S. This, however, is easier said than done, as ASEAN countries have their own national interests to consider. Given the region's proximity to the South China Sea, ASEAN members should agree to a consensus on how its strategic environment should work, Mr. Kraft also said. This has been another B-Side episode. Subscribe now and enjoy a new episode every week.